Hi, everyone. This is Pam, and you're listening to an episode of the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found at stutterrockstar.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Today, as always, I have the privilege and pleasure to speak with yet another amazing woman. So, to get started, I'd like to say hello to Elizabeth. Hey, Elizabeth, how are you? How are you doing?
Hi, Pam. I am doing pretty well. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm happy to see that there's gradually becoming a little bit more daylight. So the days are a little bit longer, right? Isn't that great?
Yeah, best
Yeah.
time of the year is when it's.
Absolutely. So to get us started, I'd like for you to formally introduce yourself, who you are, where you're from, what keeps you busy.
My name is Elizabeth. I currently live in Baltimore, Maryland. And I work in public health, and that has it kept me pretty busy recently. It worked.
I bet. I bet. What exactly do you do in public health?
I work for the as fate dip Department of Health as the adult immunization coordinator.
Wow, that I don't think I've ever talked with anyone that's done that type of work.
Yeah.
What got you interested in that?
During COVID, I now had much more just time on my hands and my mom and I just talked about how to max minimize my time, and like we talked about, maybe job in public health, and then I looked at jobs and most of them required a master's, and like I decided to apply to a grad program in aging studies and public health, and that was online, obviously. And then I started my job a year ago. Tomorrow, actually.
Oh, well, congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Wow. So working with immunizations, is that more like for kids? Or do you, I mean, does your public health department and the immunizations, does that refer to all ages?
Just states have always had children's programs, but the COVID pandemic really highlighted a need for adults and Maryland Act Lee was among the first states to have a adult coordinator, which was me.
Well, that's great. That's great. And you said that you pursued your degree in aging studies.
Yep.
What interests you about aging older adults?
I always really loved my older family members, and like we were all very tight knit. When my a grandmom got this pick, it was parent there was not as much a knowledge on the geriatric side of her just medical team. I went to undergrad for speech and hearing and everybody wanted to work with pediatrics and like I was like, oh well adults also have to have this like this service and such, and then I picked up a minor in aging and after a couple courses I really found my passion was a more with aging than speech and hearing.
Did you originally look to like become a speech language pathologist with your undergrad in speech and hearing?
I was one of the a couple who wanted to pursue audiology, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have hearing loss, and like I always really loved my audiologists, and I always this hot my SL P's were just trying to fix me. But my audiologists were there to help me, which I really loved. And I would, yeah, that's just like what I wanted. But it all changed after I found aging.
So in other words, you found aging and realized that you liked that more than audiology. Nice. So I got to know you and meet you through the NSA's Older Adult Initiative, Older Adults Committee. And I'll be honest, like when I first saw your name pop up as being on the committee, I'm like, wait a minute now. She's not an older adult. So what's going on with this? What's up with this picture? Can you speak a little about that, like how you landed with the older adults who stutter?
Yeah. At the 2022 conference out in California, a Doug, this is Scott was putting on older adult workshop, and like I noticed it on the schedule. And I just talked with him about how I was and a grad program about in aging and public health, and like how I really liked the just topic of generational relationships, and like I asked if I could observe his workshop, and like I did, but minute two he was like, "We have a special guest, Elizabeth," and I was just like, "Oh, I was just observing." I really liked that though, because I met probably just 20 people, and then after that, a workshop. I really liked talking with people there. And many of us hit it off, and like we just like all really liked each other, and like our got convert as patients, and like I just like really wanted to partake on a opportunity to mend the generational a gap.
Wow, that's awesome. Like you just were there and you were a special guest, and then all of a sudden it just happened. So when you say mending the intergenerational gap, like how do you see young people being able to do that?
People really like their peer groups, like always have always will, but a younger people can really learn, and also just talking with people who have a lived ex buzz buzz as experiences really can help just foster connection, which would also serve the older adults by just also having that connection too. And a younger people really tend to prioritize their relationships, which then isolates the other populations, which maybe that's preferred by but I just am aware that there's a opportunity for a connection of for those who would like it.
Yeah, I so believe that too. I mean, people from different generations can learn so much from each other, older adults who stutter have, a lot of, just like you said, lived experience that can be shared with young adults. And young adults can make connections and can form friendships with older adults where maybe people didn't believe that that was even possible because of the way that groups tend to sort themselves by like peer group and age range and stuff. So I think it's wonderful that you pursued what you're interested in, like what better way to, really work in the adult or aging field than by forming connections with us oldsters. So I commend you for that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so I kind of like am really interested. You said that you have hearing loss and that you've you really liked your audiologist. Is there any connection at all between hearing loss and stuttering? Like, have you ever explored that? I'm just curious.
I never really picked up on like any of it. I only ever met one other person who has my type of hearing loss and also just stutters, and that's Paula.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay.
But my stuttering and hearing loss are not really affecting one another. I don't pick up on any of that. My brother also just stutters, but he does not have a hearing loss, and like we have just similar types of just stuttering.
Interesting. Interesting. And you said that your SLP like tried to fix you. So were you in therapy like as a kid, as a adolescent, high school student? Is that the route that you took?
Yeah. I started in kindergarten and then popped in Seventh grade because of the missed class time.
Oh.
I really was not finding the help was working positively with my schooling, and like my mom is a teacher, and under just put that and advocated really just strongly of for me but four years after that my mom's school SL P's were they heard about my hopes of going into just speech and hearing for college, and like I really found almost a mentors out of them. I would just shadow them. And then just talk with them, and like it was very nice to talk about stuttering, because I for how long up until that point, what I never ever wanted to talk about stuttering, and like that really helped me just be more comfortable just talking. Nice.
No, I'm sorry. I thought I cut you off.
Oh, no.
Did you and your brother ever talk between the two of you about about stuttering, like how it was, how you felt?
Our dad also stuttered, and
Oh.
early on I was in elementary school, and like I was told I uttered for the first time,
Hmm.
I was like, no, I don't, which like obviously did. And then I was taught what this uttering is, and then I'll always remember this, but we were picking up a pizza. My dad just stuttered on his name, and I was like, oh, you also just totter too, like how cool. But my dad really got angry with me, and did just denied it,
Oh.
and that really showed me that he was just ashamed of it, and then passed on that just shame just me, and then my brother and I never just talked about it till both of us were in college, which is insane.
Yes. Oh my
All
God.
yeah.
So for like 20 years, you all stuttered but never talked about it. Wow. Wow. Do you now with your brother?
Both of us worked at like a camp hey, 1 year.
Oh, how cool.
That was his first time really in the this pattering community, and ever this, hence I have been trying to get him to a conference, and I hope this is the year.
Yeah, wow. Now, how many conferences have you been to?
Four conferences.
Wow.
Four, I had to think.
Okay. I started attending the NSA in 2006. And only missed 1 year. So I've attended like 16 conferences. So
Love that.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. And I felt really bad about missing the one that I did. It was in 2021. So like the year after COVID, it was in Austin, Texas. And I never been to Austin and I really wanted to go, but I had carpal tunnel surgery
Oh no.
scheduled for that week. I missed that one. And then just incidentally, like a year later, I had carpal tunnel surgery on the other hand. So,
Oh no, double whammy.
yeah, so like that was a rational excuse for missing my only conference. But carpal tunnel surgery or syndrome is definitely something older adults, stutterer or not, can experience. Not fun, especially when it's on your dominant hand, like
Wow.
not fun at all. So, anyway, I digress. So at work, are you in person or do you work remotely?
I work remotely right now. But our department is having us go hybrid soon.
Which means you'll be back in the office
Yeah.
part time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is it like with colleagues and stuff with your stuttering? I mean, are you pretty open about it? Or do people talk about it? Or is it just, this is part of me, this is who I am, so shut up.
I always disclose, and like I probably do like multiple times, like just adjust how that I'm comfortable and con I didn't when like I talk as something that was one of my just challenges at work. Is that our team has cameras off tendency, which I was just like, oh no, like my blocks often were under Oh, it does this silence or like tech problem, and like after a week I just would always have my a camera on. Oh, that people could tell what was this stuttering moment and what was not, because that was very frustrating for me. And also for them too, I bet. Like, wondering whether they're internet was bad. You
Right.
know, I was like, I see both sides here, so like I'm just gonna just turn on my the camera, even when nobody else does.
What's the point behind that of everybody keeping their cameras off during like a call or a meeting?
I would love to figure that out myself. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really save like bandwidth or anything, I don't think. So
No.
yeah, you should ask that one
Yeah.
of these days.
Gonna be like, I always had mine on.
You know, it's interesting. I've talked with people, you know, who really hate seeing themselves stutter, you know. So like, you know, ever since the pandemic and stuff, where like everything moved to online, I've just, you know, come across people who stutter that don't like seeing themselves like, you know, in mid block or whatever, you know, because like, you know, nobody's really comfortable with that when we're stuttering. But I totally get why people who stutter would want or should want to have their camera on so that the listener can see and know, you know, I'm still talking, you know, just like be patient, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I you know, so but I can, you know, I can see both sides. Like some people just don't wanna see themselves stutter. So well, kudos for you. I mean, you're into a lot of things and varied interests, and you're pursuing your goals. And I just really think it's wonderful that you've like forged this intentional connection with older adults, particularly who stutter. And it sounds like, you know, you're doing it for both professional and personal reasons. Like, you know, all of us can learn so much from each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
In wind down mode, what is a piece of advice, or insight that you might offer to maybe a young person listening to this podcast episode and like maybe just starting out on their journey with their stuttering? What insight might you offer?
When I was younger, my main uttering just strategy was just avoiding. And then in high school, I really was aware of how much my avoidant actions really hindered me just hosh fully and also academically. And like if I could just tell a younger people anything, I would just hear that just stuttering is always going to happen event truly. So having it happen when you're not focused on only on a knot just huddering is much more of a positive viewpoint on just huddering and really just talk more, you know.
Like you have done here today. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being a guest today and for being so open. Your story, which I feel like we could talk for hours more because you're so interesting. But thank you for sharing, and I know a lot of people are going to be inspired by this episode and by you. So thank you.
Thank you, Pam, for having me on here.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.
Na na na, na na.